What up, Long Beach? Like we've been saying and will be saying, hope you and yours are happy and healthy. This is going to be our attempt at a Long Beach sports podcast in these strange times. We're already a few weeks into these closures and cancellations, and we've got more breaking news and pertinent information for the LBC schools and sports teams. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and across the city, he's Mike Garabasio.
What's going on, everybody? What Up Long Beach is brought to you this week, as it is every week, by the Long Beach Post. Definitely check out obpost.com. They've been doing some incredible reporting on all of the life and death stuff that's a lot more important than what JJ and I like to talk about, obviously. I miss going to the Post and being in the office in our regular life, man. This whole Skype world is very odd.
I completely agree. We apologize for any oddities that will be coming your way via our podcast and other stuff we're doing as part of our partnership with Long Beach Post. Because we're practicing social distancing, I'm at my place in Belmont Shore, Mike at his home in East Long Beach, and we're going to be joined by Poly football coach Stephen Barbie. We're also going to play part of our interview with Long Beach State Athletics Director Andy Fee to update you on that NCAA news. But breaking news right now, we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon, and at the moment, it looks like the 2019-20 school year is pretty much kaput here in California. The entire state gearing up to miss the rest of the year. That's obviously going to trickle down to the local Long Beach Unified School District schools. There was a little bit of hope for that return just before summer, but we'll probably hear later this week that everything is going to be canceled statewide.
Yeah, the word pretty much at the moment is operative. As it currently stands, the school year has not technically been canceled to the end of the year. Currently, the LBSD is still saying May 4th is their target date, but Tuesday afternoon, a letter from State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurmond to the county superintendents around the state said, quote, "Due to the current safety concerns and needs for ongoing social distancing, it currently appears that our students will not be able to return to school campuses before the end of the school year." Now, the LBUSD, a couple other districts have said, look, we haven't canceled anything yet, nothing's official. But I have heard from multiple high sources in the LBUSD that they expect basically all other school districts in the state will take that letter as a directive, even though it technically is not a directive. So I would expect, possibly by the time JJ finishes uploading this podcast, we may have an official announcement on that. But it certainly sounds like by the end of the week, I would expect the official announcement. Following on that, the CIF state office is meeting on Friday with their executive committee, which is made up of the section commissioners from around California. And they had sort of already said, look, if school is out, we're not going to do, you know, what the NBA is talking about, for example, where there's a sort of a quarantined arena that they can compete in or something like that. You know, the CIF state had already said, if the schools don't go back in session, then the high school sports season is done for the spring. So at the moment, technically, those things have not happened yet, but that letter definitely spells it out from the state superintendent. And stay tuned to the 562.org and lbpost.com for official announcements and confirmations.
Man, you could really see it in the reactions online from the student athletes we cover here in the city, what that news felt like, because you could see it. They kind of had a little hope left. They were still thinking, you know, maybe they get a prom, maybe that last run through the league schedule, maybe a playoffs, even graduation. Like, those things are so important to high school seniors in this, their last year as a student athlete. And like you said last week, I think we should reiterate this again today. It's okay to be sad today, kids. Like, this is a huge world-changing event, and your world has been changed right now as well. So it's okay to feel bad. It's okay to feel hard done by with your friends and in the social media realm as well. I don't see anything wrong with the kids saying, man, this really sucks, because it does really suck. And I hope that high school seniors specifically know that everybody out there looking in feels them. Anybody who went to a good high school and was a student athlete and got to go through their senior year knows how much that means.
Yeah, and I think, you know, beyond even just the student athletes, Nayla Waterfield, who you and I covered when she was at Poly and then went and played volleyball at Duke and is now working in a sports agency in New York, she had a great tweet. She said, "This is heartbreaking. I worked so incredibly hard all throughout high school. And after I got into Duke, my last few months as a senior were some of the best and most fun days of my life." And whether you're an athlete or not, you know, I mean, it's just so painful to see that stuff get removed from kids. So I would just echo what JJ's saying. If you're feeling sad or angry about this stuff, like, it's fine, you know, like, don't feel like because people are in hospitals, because this is a life and death issue for a lot of people, that what you've lost in your life isn't worth, you know, mourning or being sad over. Because it, you know, frankly, it's unprecedented. The Long Beach schools haven't closed since 1918, when they closed much more briefly for the Spanish flu. So you know, this is a once, not just once in a lifetime. I mean, it's like a once or twice in history kind of an event. It's just an unfortunate luck of the draw for the kids that are seniors this year, that, you know, you guys are the ones who've got to kind of take the hit.
Well, we're always reporting on the people of Long Beach, not just the sports or the final score. So you can find some of those stories about a lot of those people at the562.org right now. We've been doing columns, features, some really good, interesting stuff, not only from Long Beach, but from Long Beach athletes internationally who have been playing professionally overseas. So check that out. As I mentioned, Long Beach Poly, Stephen Barbie coming up in just a minute. But Mike, I got to be honest, if we're looking at the dominoes falling, you know, the fall season for high schools in 2020 is the next thing on the COVID-19 cancellation chopping block. Anything can get postponed or canceled at this point. I know it's crazy to say that in April, but hey, we are in crazy times.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that won't be the case. But I think we're feeling the pressure, coaches are feeling the pressure that, you know, if they come out and make this announcement that we're expecting on Friday that the high school spring season is canceled, the next thing is football season, you know, and I obviously that's such an important thing for everybody that you can't really even imagine it not happening. But I'm definitely, how do you feel about it? I mean, I just feel very nervous about it. It's one thing to sort of throw a whole spring away, but you start imagining a 6 month, you know, a long thing. I don't know. We won't have any clarity on it. The issue is, the stressful part for me is, we won't have clarity on that one way or the other for quite some time. You know, they're not going to be able to say on May 1st, we're definitely having football season. And they might not be able to say on July 1st, we're definitely having football season next month, you know?
I mean, even just for the community, you know, there's something to be said for closure. And to have this situation bleed into the next academic and athletic year isn't going to be good for anybody. So I think for everybody, we're hoping that the summer can kind of wash our hands clean, no pun intended, and then start the next year fresh, because that's what we all want. We all want that return to normalcy, and I guess part of that return to normalcy will be deciding what things are important in our community. Mike, you mentioned this last week. Some things won't get saved. We need to support each other and make sure that the things we want around are still around. And when I think about that, I honestly think about Naples Rib Company, because eating Naples Rib Company a couple days ago just felt like normal. And I would encourage everybody to get down to Naples. Everyone down here on Belmont Shore and Naples doing a great job with the takeout tables outside by the front door, so you don't have to go in. You can just pick up the food right there and get out. So stop by Naples Rib Company this week. Heck, do it twice. Make sure you let them know the 562.org sent you.
We're going on Thursday. Shar and I are going to try and go once a week. That's what we've committed to. And yeah, you said it, like, ads usually involve some amount of salesmanship or something, and like, there is none of that. We're just asking you, please support Naples Rib Company. They've supported us, they supported a lot of people. Hopefully we're one of the businesses that can come out on the other side of this. Hopefully Naples Rib Company is one of the businesses. But this is going to be a really interesting month for every aspect of society. And, we ask for your support. We ask that you sign up for our Patreon. We ask that you support Naples Rib Company and the Long Beach Post and the Gazette and, you know, everyone that's been good to us over the years.
Got one more plug left this week. Make sure you come back to the social media channels to find the show. Mike and I do a 5-minute video recap of the top Long Beach sports stories, and this week we're talking about the cancellations of the citywide events, not just the high schools and the colleges. That's the show, available every week at Long Beach Post.
All right, we're now welcoming onto the show our special guest, three guys, three houses, three different parts of Southern California, Stephen Barbie, head coach of the Long Beach Poly football team. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So what are you up to, Steve? I mean, you teach at Poly, so you're at home the same way everyone else is that's in the district, same way we are, but you're also a coach. So, I mean, you guys were, I think, a month and a couple days away from starting spring ball, and now it's looking like we're not going back to school this year. So what are you doing on a day-to-day basis right now?
Well, right now, from a teacher standpoint, I became a pro at Google Classroom and set up my classes and kind of assigning workouts and different things, whether it's nutrition-based for my PE kids. From a football standpoint, we've been in constant communication with our guys, dealing with a variety of workouts. Some have access to weights, some don't. So you need to be able to give them a variety of different types of workouts that they can do at home together. And, you know, really just using this time, you know, thank God for all of the technology, using this time to be able to have you know, meetings with our coaches, get everything rolling. And I think, you know, I speak for all the football coaches across Southern California that whenever we do get back, we got to be able to hit the ground running and you know, kind of just getting everything squared away as far as you know, implementation schedule. It's a great time to be able to use to work with our team, you know, and having video conferences and talking, you know, positional stuff, schematic stuff. So really just trying to fill our time with that the last couple of days. And then you know, I have two kids at home too, so you know, I am the homeschool teacher for a first and third grader. Good thing I taught third grade for 8 years, but you know, besides that, you know, we fill our days with wiffle ball games, basketball, you know, we have football practices in the backyard, kickball games. So, you know, never a dull moment over here.
Yeah, we saw you on social media rocking the Orioles 8, Cal Ripken Jr. throwing some BP to the boys. When you're doing that, are you trying to strike them out? What's the deal? Are you just laying it over the top nice and fat?
No, I'm trying to, you know, there's no gimmies in this household. If they're going to beat me or hit a home run, it's going to be, you know, I'm throwing gas at them. So, sink or swim, kid. And no, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, but yeah, no, definitely some competition going on.
So you guys had kind of finalized your schedule, your staff, like the momentum is sort of built, right? I mean, we were really excited to get out there and see some spring ball. Can you just talk to us a little bit about, you know, what the momentum, what the feeling about the 2020 season is, you know, around the Poly program right now?
It's a lot of excitement. You know, we had some pretty big transfers come in on both sides of the line, and you know, I think it's a lot of optimism. We return a ton of players.
Well, really quick on the line, I wanted to say that Keith Anderson, who's a good friend of mine, who's been coaching a number of sports at Poly for, you know, the last 30 something years, Keith told me he walked into the weight room when your line was in there. And he said he made everyone stop. And he said, I just want to say, it's nice to see a real line at Long Beach Poly. I haven't seen guys your size here you know, in a decade.
No, I mean, we got some size up there. And we return a lot of players. I mean, you know, again, this the 2020 class was, you know, not that big from a senior standpoint. And, you know, we had a lot of guys, as you guys know, we played a lot of young players last year and they got a year under their belt. And, you know, we're really excited. We've been really, you know, before all this happened, you know, getting some field workouts in, really hitting the weight room very hard. And, you know, it was great to see that growth. You know, we had our skill players doing 7-on-7. All of our line was going to the men in the trenches. You know, unfortunately, the day everything got canceled, it was supposed to be a men in the trenches hosted at Long Beach. And last year, we had about 200 participants in it. So, you know, unfortunately, that's what it's at right now. You know, the optimism and stuff, I mean, we still understand that, you know what, we've had a great winter of football, and we need to be consistent and be accountable to each other and to our teammates and coaches, and doing our workouts, making these positional meetings, making you know, the offense, defensive meetings, the team meetings, and really just use this time to work on. You know, I tease the kids and say that they're taking AP football, you know, advanced placement football, just understanding everything, and now is a great time to be able to have them work on all the different, the nuances and everything that, you know, as a teacher, you know, and especially a high school football coach, you're a teacher first. And, you know, you need to be able to teach all your drills, teach the coaching points for your drills, teach, you know, what you're trying to do on the runs versus an odd front and even front and over and under, you know, all those different little nuances that change, you know, how you run a route, you know, versus a zone or a press, man press. So, you know, it's just a real good time, and talking with our coaches, just getting everybody on board and understanding how we have to change our coaching style for this, you know, the near future, and get going on it.
Speaking of riding momentum into this season, how does the program feel about last season? Because you guys certainly had some ups and some downs.
The last 3 or 4 weeks, we played some of our best football. You know, unfortunately, our last game against Rancho Cucamonga, you know, the scoreboard didn't show that. But, you know, our program feels that besides the score, we beat them in every single facet of the game, up and down the field. And especially with, you know, the heralded players that they had, an Elite 11 winner holding him to 105 yards passing. You know, they had more first downs on penalties than they did actually earning them. And I think, you know, understanding that, the group coming back, you know, our focus has been on finishing things. We're going to be a group of finishers, you know, and we're going to really get dialed in on the little things, you know, cut down on the penalties that, you know, were, you know, drive killers for us. You know, really focus on us. You know, I mean, not worried about what everybody else is doing. We know what we're doing. You know, we're out there working when nobody else is. So, you know, really just, you know, having an internal look at ourselves and how can we get better? What aspects can we get better in, whether it be the weight room, whether it be our field workouts, whether it be our academics? You know, I was, you know, blessed to say that 48% of our kids had above a 3.0 this year. This past semester. And, you know, that's, everything's trending in the right direction. And it's just a matter of continuing to do things day in and day out. You know, Long Beach Poly's had a saying for quite some time, every day, every way, we get better, better, hey. And, you know, that's kind of the mantra that we've really taken on as far as just, you know what, we're going to outwork everybody today, whether it be in the weight room, whether it be on the field, whether it be in the classroom. And, you know, have our body of work speak for itself.
I don't think anyone wants to do anything other than think about sports right now and imagine a time when we can all be at a game. can you walk us through the schedule for 2020 so we can start getting excited about, you know, some football games and being able to cover something?
I can speak of 9 of the 10, one still kind of up in the air.
Okay.
On it. But we will scrimmage Santa Ana at Long Beach Poly. And then we have our first game at Edison High School. Edison, ooh. Huntington Beach. So, you know, again,
old really school public powers. I like that.
Two really good public schools. You know, I got nothing but respect for Coach and the great job that he does down there at Edison. And, you know, it just happened. And, you know, it's a great, you know, opening matchup for us. So then we have we have one game we can't really talk about yet. And then
when are you going to be able to talk about that game?
Our first week of school will be a bye week. And then we finish our preseason with Sarah Gardena at Vets. That'll be our first home game. And then we go out to the IE and play Coach Logan and Corona Centennial.
So when can you talk about the one game that you can't talk about?
when I am told I can.
All right.
And don't worry, 562 will have the exclusive first rights to
it. All right.
So you guys will be able to, you know, break it simultaneously along with Long Beach Poly.
All right.
We appreciate that, Coach. And that is no joke of a schedule. I mean, Long Beach Poly football never shying away from playing the best. Is that something that you think about when you're putting that schedule together, that you guys want to be part of the marquee games that Fox Sports Prep Zone is trying to decide whether or not to be at on Friday night?
Yes. You know, I mean, we're not thinking let's be on TV, to be very honest. You know, we want to really just get ourselves a very competitive schedule. one that's going to allow us to kind of understand where we are, you know, as a team, you know, kind of get some momentum going into the Moore League, you know, especially with this new playoff selection where, you know, all your games are based after week 10. You know, we really got to get some, you know, quality games up front to, you know, kind of even be in the consideration, you know, for being in those upper divisions.
This is something you and I have talked about a lot. I think, you know, the CIF sort of tinkering with that playoff format has created an interesting world, right? There's a lot more up in the air than there used to be. And as you mentioned, this year, for the first time, they're actually going to redivision it at the end of the regular season, which is something that's never happened before in the 100 years that the section has been around. Would you rather be the last seed in Division One or the first seed in Division Two when those brackets shake out? If it comes down, I mean, you'd obviously rather be the top seed in Division One, but yeah. if it shakes out in that direction, I mean, what's sort of your philosophy and the philosophy of the program for the year?
You know, anybody, anytime, you know, I think it's one of those things, especially come playoffs, you know, you got 10 games under your belt, you know, and it's, you know, one game and, you know, win or go home. So, you know, at that point, all of those teams that you're going to be playing are going to be good. So it's not like there's any give me's on that. So, you know, ideally we want to be in the upper division. And, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, we have no control over. You know, I have no control over, you know, losing power points if we, you know, if we beat Cabrillo or Jordan or, you know, some of those other things where you have a margin of 50 something points and you're losing power points, you know, and I'm not going to be one of those coaches that's going to, you know, continually run up the score to, you know, to keep my power points up. You know, I think that's not the sportsmanship I want to, you know, have for our program.
Do you feel like the new system is kind of going to incentivize that when, you know, Division 1/2 tweener Definitely. Teams are playing Definitely. A lower One. Team in their league, they're going to try and run it up?
100%. You know, a lot of it, especially if it's based on the Cal Preps predictions, you know, if you don't hit those Cal Preps predictions, or, you know, if you have a team score a touchdown late in the game against your second or third or fourth team, you end up losing. You know, I mean, we ended up, you know, we gained power points on our loss to Corona Centennial, and we lost 2 or 3 points when we beat Cabrillo, when we beat Jordan. You know, we're losing them, and it's like,
right,
you know, some of these games that they're, you know
it doesn't line up with what you're trying to do.
Margin, and, you know, I mean, it's a running clock in the whole second half, or, you know, something like that, and I think it takes a sportsmanship concept out of the picture, because you are going to have some teams that are going to be, you know, I'm going to drop 90 on these guys, and, you know, I've been on the other side of those sometimes, and it's like, it's not fun for anybody. It's not fun for, you know, the winning team, the losing team. It's you know, unfortunately, though, that is what, you know, one of the main drives is going to be those power points. So you know, and your rating, you know, do you drop rating, even though, you know, unfortunately, you know, we have, you know, some teams that you know, don't have a big power rating in our league, and there's nothing we can do about it, you know. So you know, we can just play and, you know, allow, you know, like Long Beach Poly has always done, to be able to get the younger kids the repetitions, and you know, ultimately, wherever we are seated as a playoff, we're looking to win that division and be ready for it.
Is there something that you've enjoyed specifically in your first few years here at Long Beach, in Long Beach and at Long Beach Poly, something that sticks out to you where you're just like, you know what, I wouldn't get that at any other place in any other city?
The kids, man. They are the best kids around. So the best players I've ever gotten to coach. The love that's been shown to me by them has been second to none. You know, just really seeing the development of these kids. You know, I really think that it's been great. I love seeing, you know, my first year kids coming back and, you know, coming up, giving hugs and, you know, talking to the kids and, you know, I think it's important. You know, one of the big things that the Long Beach Poly program is built on is love for, you know, for each other, for the people that have been there before, and the respect. And, you know, I think it's Long Beach Poly and Long Beach in general, there's nothing like it. I mean, you know, I love being a part of it. You know, I wear my LB stuff all over the place. And, you know, I love it being, you know, we'll go places. And my wife always jokes saying, what's the over under that somebody's going to stop you and say, you know, oh, did you go to Poly or, you know, this or that? And I mean, it's, you know, Long Beach is definitely a special place. And I think, you know, really trying to integrate myself, you know, and my kids and my family and everything as much as I can into that community. You know, again, it's that Long Beach versus everybody. That's for real. And, you know, again, high school wise, yeah, we want to beat each other when we play each other. But come playoffs, you know, we want to see everybody succeed. We want to see, you know, Long Beach State, you know, and all their sports, you know, do a great job. It was awesome to see their baseball team this year. I mean, those guys were a bunch of killers out there. You know, just pulling out big game and winning series after series. And, you know, it's great to see how Long Beach as a community rallies around its team. And they truly have I mean, obviously they always want to be the best, but what town doesn't want to be the best? And, you know, I think it's just, you know, the best thing the last couple of years is just honestly really becoming a part of the Long Beach Poly football community, the Long Beach community. You know, couldn't be more blessed to be a part of it.
Coach, what do you think is the biggest misconception about the Poly football program? Not talking about your time in general, but, you know, what's something that you hear people say, you go, gosh, you know, if you were here, if you'd come out to practice a couple times, you might feel differently. Or, you know, what's sort of something you hear that you disagree with that people might say about the team?
That's a good question. Raul Laura, I talked to him once I got the job, and he said one of the best things you can do is never go on social media. You know, I don't really listen to what people say, honestly. You know, I mean, I listen to, you know, you guys and, you know, whatnot. But, you know, I don't, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. You know, I know what we're doing is right. You know, the way we're doing it, the way we're building up these young men to be, you know, present fathers, loving husbands, leaders in their community. You know, the win is 10 years from now. You know, when they're able to do that and provide for their family. And, you know, we're building something special that's been at Poly again. And, you know, we got a great group coming back this year. So, you know, I think, you know, it's exciting to be a part of it.
Yeah, we're obviously, you know, there may be more kids coming in. It's going to be interesting to see how the next couple months goes for the usual kind of fluctuations of people moving around Southern California. But in terms of the guys that you've got in the program that you're excited about, you know, who are a couple people that you think are kind of going to make a name for themselves this season?
Jacob Tuioti is going to kill it again, you know, at D-line. The Moy brothers, Wendell and Wheaty. Wendell's a sophomore. He's 6'4", 320 pounds. He is a force.
And he moves, too.
What?
And he moves. I mean.
he can move. He plays volleyball, you know. Right. I mean, it's like, yeah, coach, I'm playing volleyball. I'm like, you're playing what? But he gets up there. I'm like, man, you know, I've never seen 6'4", 320 move like that. You know, and his older brother, Wheaty, you know, he's about 6 feet, 240. He's going to have a big year. You know, Michael Fasili, you know, he's been a three-year starter for us online. It's going to be huge. Brian Parham is going to be lights out this year. You know, he led the team in every single statistical category, I believe, last year, third team All-State. Look for him being all over the place again. You know, he is going to be lights out. Tay Lanier is going to be, you know, we've been working him on the defensive side of the ball as well. The range he has at free safety is lights out, to be quite honest. He made a couple plays where I'm like, oh, here, that guy's about to catch it. And then all of a sudden, you know, we got a 6'4 guy, you know, high pointing the ball and, you know, scooping it out of the air.
Tay got mad at me when he was a sophomore. I told him he'd be an incredible free safety. He goes, he said, I'm a receiver. And I said, yeah, but skill wise, you'd be a pretty special free safety, you know?
he's one of those kids, he can play pretty much any position. He was, a pretty dynamic quarterback, you know, my first year. He actually, our game against Jay Sarah, they had no answer for him, towards the end. And, obviously, you know, he's a stud wide receiver. And, I think it's talking with our coaches this year, it's just a matter of how we can fill the guys out, whether it be personnel stuff during the game, you know, heavy package, quick package. We did that a decent bit last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And with our line honestly being so big, it'll allow us to do a lot of different personnel stuff. Another transfer we had, Phineas Samatua. He's looking great. Brandon Potti, Justin Mattia.
I'd like to just note, if people are looking for a glimpse of what the Poly football program will look like at this point, Coach has now mentioned 9 players, 7 of whom are linemen.
Hey, we got skill, guys. I mean, definitely don't get me wrong.
They're linemen with similar names with vowels at the end.
Yes,
that's right. Sure. That's right. We've gotten quite a few Polynesian players back into the program, blessed for that. I think Donovan Turner is going to have a great year. He'll be all over the place. Kyron Rochelle, Mikhail Jackson, Simeon Williams.
Can I pause you and ask a little bit more about you guys just mentioned the Polynesian players. Obviously, when, you know, the program was sort of at its peak in the late 90s, 2000s, there were, and even going back to the 60s, I mean, there's always been a really strong history of Polynesian players, wearing green and gold. And when you took over, I mean, I think there's only 2 or 3 Polynesian kids really in the whole program. And I was texting with Marcus a couple of days ago. He said it's going to be something like 60 this year, right?
It's up there.
How have you guys focused on bringing that important part of the Long Beach community back into the football program? And, yes, people talk about what great football players the Polynesian community can produce. But to me, the value that community has always provided, it really almost has nothing to do with with sports. I mean, what have you guys been able to do to bring them back in? And how does it change the program to have, a large number of Polynesian kids?
I think it changes the program. The kids are great. They're yes sir, no sir type of kids, very respectful. They're very family oriented, which is awesome to see. Michael Facili, his dad's a pastor, and we have a couple other kids that their parents are heavily involved, they just have very good values. I think it's just a matter of not just talking about we're a family, but really trying to emphasize that we are a family, that it's not all our guys know that our coaches aren't just here for football, when they're having a bad day or they're struggling in a class or anything. We celebrate all those victories. When kids are coming, we gave away shoes, shorts, and t-shirt for all our kids above a 3.0. And, it was great to just have kids running across campus with their transcripts being like, coach, I got it. And, really try to instill a family values. We have incredible coaches that have been very, very helpful and helping with bringing some kids. And I think it's just a matter of really being consistent and working with your communities.
So now what, Coach? I mean, we're all in a holding pattern here in the sports world. So are you kind of planning an abbreviated spring summer situation, or are you just kind of waiting to see what happens?
Right now, I mean, obviously, if the date holds, then we come back and first day of spring, let's go. I think it's one of those things that we need to plan and have everything ready. So whenever we do get the go ahead, I've told this to the team, the coaches, we are hitting the ground running. There's no reason why we shouldn't be able to have a ton of our stuff already installed, get that classroom time going, you know, and really just use this time to obviously, you know, check in with the kids, make sure they're doing okay. You know, they're healthy. You know, they're on top of all their school stuff, and really go from there. I mean, making sure they're doing their workouts.
Well, we know you're bored. We're bored. You know, you're also making the transition into a different kind of teaching and parenting. So it's a busy time, and we really appreciate you stepping aside to talk to us for a couple minutes, Coach.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate you guys and all the work you guys do.
Make sure you're keeping it high and tight for BP.
Hey, you know, right? Hey, hey, you know, it's, yeah, they keep backing up. Dad, why are you throwing? Hey, you know, you're going to get close to the plate, you know. I only got one pitch, and it's the heater, you know. I tried throwing them. My oldest son, I was throwing to him, you know, sidearm, and he's like, Dad, why are you throwing that? And, you know, some of the wiffle balls we have, you know, they got the notches on the top, and it's like, you know, with the wiffle ball, like, you can make those things sink and ride. Oh, yeah. And I'm throwing them sidearm, and he's like, Dad, how do you know how to throw these? I was like, man, this isn't my first wiffle ball game. You know, it's coming, and then all of a sudden it rises, and he's swinging, you know, for the fences and getting nothing. But yeah, it's a good time.
You were throwing in the Oriole 8, like I said, Cal Ripken Jr. I need to see another throwback jersey next time you're out there doing it. All right.
Well, you know, I got a few. Some are still in the league, but, you know, unfortunately, the Orioles purged themselves of any good player ever. And you know, it sadly, it you know, we don't Adam Jones and Manny Machado and a whole bunch of other you know, studs, sadly, you know, we don't have them anymore, but you know, it is what it is. So, but yeah, I'll make sure to throw in another one for you guys.
All right, cool, Coach. Thanks so much for having
me. All right, appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, our thanks to Coach for joining us. It's been interesting. I've just been basically texting everyone we know, asking how they're doing, you know, whatever else. But I know that the people who are in the same boat as I am and as Barbie is, you know, where you're being asked to now work from home. You're a teacher, you're a journalist or whatever. And also your kids are now home. So you're also being asked to teach your kids. It's sort of an impossible balance. My wife is, as most of our listeners probably know, teaches at Jordan, and so we're trying to figure that out. It's like she's got to work, I've got to work. We now have a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old who are in the house that we would like to not just have 5 months off school here.
Yeah.
So you just sort of, it's like a lot of checking in with each other and juggling schedules in a weird way. But I don't know. No. I mean, I can't complain, right? Like, we're all still pulling a paycheck, which is at this point a privileged position to be in.
Yeah, I think it's getting out into the community and going to the games, live sporting events, seeing people. That's what I've missed so much. I already knew that was one of my favorite parts of the job, obviously. But that itch for live sports, it's tough. I wrote a column about it this week, and it's there, and it's tough to scratch.
Well, you and I were joking with each other via text a couple of days ago. I think I can say this without insulting anyone, that obviously there's some events we go cover that we look forward to more than others, right? The Blair Field doubleheader among the top 3 or 4 teams is always going to be more interesting than a fourth place volleyball match. But you and I were texting each other, and we're like, man, I can't wait to go to that fourth place softball game. Yeah. I can't wait to go see a volleyball match to decide who's in third versus fourth. I mean, the games that usually were sort of the unseasoned part of the week, I'm just like, I would kill for that right now, you know?
Yeah, I'm about ready to call a 5-minute video highlight for a fourth place softball blowout for sure. I'll tell you what, I'm definitely going to be watching some Fox Sports Prep Zone this weekend. Pauly's football showdowns, 1998 against Modern Day, 2001 against De La Salle. That 2001 game against De La Salle, basically the reason why I work in Long Beach sports.
No thanks for ever watching either of those games again.
Yeah, they're certainly not Jackrabbit favorites, but they're some of the best high school football I have ever seen.
Did you see the 98 championship, the Matt Grudegood game?
I think I've seen the condensed version, like a few plays, but you get the hint. I've never watched it beginning to end.
The 97 game for Pauly similarly has an individual performance that's incredible, but as much as I hate that game, and I'm certainly not a Modern Day fan, as everyone knows, that 98 performance by Matt Grudegood, I mean, basically single-handedly beat one of the best poly teams ever, a team that hadn't lost in, you know, 2 years or something. So Poly shocked Modern Day in 97. That was supposed to be Modern Day's national championship year. 98 was supposed to be Poly's national championship year, and Modern Day shocked Poly. And then 1999, they played and tied and were awarded a co-championship, which is what made that 2012 game where Poly beat Modern Day to go to 2-1-1 against them in the championship. Kind of a special run for sure. But yeah, a lot of great history in those late 90s, early 2000 teams for sure.
No doubt Barbie is going to be hoping to add to that legacy and history at Poly this year, hopefully get back to some of those championship games. Also, I would be remiss not to mention, we've got Stephen Barbie on the show. We're about to play a part of our interview with Andy Fee. Those two guys are friends who went to high school together at Dana Hills High. Two Dolphins on the pod this week.
Maybe the top two jobs in Long Beach sports, two guys from, from Dana.
Like I said, we're getting breaking news almost every day, pretty much every week since these closures started happening, and this week was no exception. 2 weeks after they promised eligibility relief after the COVID-19 closures, the NCAA Division I Council voted on Monday to, and I quote here, allow schools to provide spring sports student athletes an additional season of competition. That means if you're a senior, junior, sophomore, or freshman who competed in the Division I NCAA level this spring, you can come back next year. Obviously, that's changing the rules and regulations for things like roster size and the financial aid, and basically just finding a way to accommodate a fifth class of student athletes. And when you're talking spring rosters, a lot of people are looking at baseball first and foremost. I mean, can you imagine a baseball team with like 10 seniors on it, they all come back, and then you're trying to hold a baseball team with almost 40 guys on it. That would be very difficult, if not impossible. We talked to Andy Fee about that, and honestly, not shocked, his initial reaction was a lot to do with the finances.
Well, my heart feels good and happy for student athletes, but the athletic director and finance guy inside of me is a little nervous and wondering how we're going to do this, because a quick breaking news kind of summation of where we might be if all of our seniors came back next year, it's probably around $300,000 that we would be additionally responsible for if we awarded whatever they were getting last year or this current fiscal year. Next fiscal year, it would be an additional $300,000, and I'll be honest, we don't have $300,000 just sitting off to the side here waiting to be used. So that's where I think for myself, my staff, and most of our colleagues, at least in the mid-major world, we're all scratching our head going, okay, how do we figure this one out?
Yeah, I mean, a running theme of conversations that JJ and I have had around the NCAA, because we have a mid-major school in Long Beach State in this city, is that gap between the haves and the have-nots. And the fact that it seems like basically everything that happens in the NCAA widens that gap. And you might have thought this kind of a ruling that would affect everyone might be one of the things that didn't widen that gap. But, you know, from our perspective and Andy's, as it turns out, it does.
We have to cut somewhere. You know, if revenues aren't increased, then we're going to have to cut somewhere. So, you know, again, I always, and I've shared with you guys, you know, when we make cuts, we're not cutting fat, really. We don't have what I would call excess. We don't, you know, live in a world of, you know, charter flights. So when we cut, we're cutting into muscle, and we're just trying to figure out which muscle is less important than the others, I guess. We don't have as a conference, and we've got a good conference, and it's very stable, and it's been around one of the longest, most stable leagues in the country. But we don't have the coffers that a Pac-12 does. And a lot of those Power 5 conferences, their conference offices do have reserves, substantial reserves, based around their multimedia rights, TV rights. And so, you know, I'm not saying it's, you know, just super easy for them, but the likelihood of them having to sit there and go, well, do I cut into muscle, is probably not a very realistic conversation for them. It's just, well, now we're going to drain some reserves. And, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, but it does create a greater divide.
So obviously, stay tuned for updates on this. We're going to be interviewing some of the Long Beach State student athletes who are now going to have to choose if they want to come back for another year of school to play one more season. And you can listen to the entire interview with Andy Fee on the LB Fee Show. That's available at the562.org right now. Just like What Up Long Beach, you can listen to that show at the website and subscribe to it wherever you find your podcasts.
We are going to wrap up, as we always do, with some recommendations. It's kind of funny because when we used to record this segment, we would always laugh about needing to, like, kind of, I wouldn't say make something up, but you needed to manufacture something, because we have certain weeks of our lives when literally the only thing either of us would do would be working or spending time with our family. But now I have lots of books I can recommend. I'm reading two books a week, you know, watching a movie, watching TV with my wife, whatever. So I'll kick it off. We've really been enjoying the third season of Westworld. It's a much more interesting apocalyptic vision than the one that we're currently living in our real lives.
Truth.
And I read a book by Michael Lewis, who wrote The Blind Side and Moneyball, called The Fifth Risk, which is basically about the value of boring people in government that don't ever get appreciated. The guy in the Department of Energy who's trying to make sure that we never have a Chernobyl here. The people trying to make sure that they know when tornadoes are going to touch down. They're all like boring sort of bureaucratic jobs. But as it turns out, and we're finding this right now, as America is falling in love with Dr. Fauci, those people really do so much to keep us safe without ever being appreciated or thanked for it. And it was perfect because the book closed on a story about a guy who, he was just like a math guy, and he completely changed the way the Coast Guard did their search and rescue by creating a model that allowed people to determine if someone fell off a boat here in the ocean, based on what they were floating on, this is where the currents probably took them to over X amount of time.
Right.
This dude's been honored around the world because every search and rescue on the planet Earth uses his model now, right? And so, like, he's personally responsible for thousands of people being pulled out of the ocean, but he's never received any, you know, credit or, like, whatever, other than from search and rescue people. But our tax dollars paid this guy's salary for 40 years until he retired, you know?
That's crazy.
And so the story ends on him in Long Beach. You might remember here a couple years ago, a guy was rescued who'd fallen off a boat. And so it was a big news story because the guy came back to the Coast Guard. We have a Coast Guard in Long Beach, and was thanking them. He said he'd stopped drinking. He'd gotten in shape. Like, it had changed his life, you know, that 18 hours when he thought he was going to die. So he was thanking them for saving him. And it just so happened that the guy who created this model was there on hand. He was basically closing out his career. And so this old Coast Guard dude leaned over and whispered to him, like, good job, Art. And it was just this, like, perfect image. It was like he'd saved this guy's life, but no one knew it. No one was – he was never going to get – like, he wasn't going to be on TV. And I just think, you know, thank you so much. We're discovering as a society right now how important our nurses and our grocery store employees and all these people are. So I thought that was sort of a perfect book about those invisible heroes that are sort of everywhere in our society.
Dude, that is so great. That's actually kind of what my recommendation was going to be as well. It was donate $10 to a worthy organization to help the people you're talking about. 10 bucks a week, pick a different one every week. It's nice because it gets you on those mailing lists for the positive stories of the people that you're talking about, Mike, those invisible heroes. It makes you feel good. It's good to do. It's helping the world. I mean, it's what you should be doing with your extra time, let's be honest. And I think that's probably one of the best recommendation segments of all time. Also, very timely. This podcast has ended up being very timely as well. Like I said, last few weeks, we've been breaking news here at What Up Long Beach. So make sure you subscribe to the show when you're visiting the websites, Long Beach Post, the562.org, all of your updated Long Beach school and sports information. So for Mike and for JJ and for everybody who helps put those websites and these shows together, we will see you very soon, Long Beach. Please take care of yourselves.